Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Samach Gimel, three lines from the top. Truth be told, is we left off in our previous shiur in the middle of a discussion. So, just to briefly recap, we had seen at the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, in fact, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which connects the relevant points, where on Samach Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, Rav Chisda made a point, and that was that Shechita, the slaughtering of the Sirei, the Yom HaKippurim, the two goats, one is known as the Sori LaHashem, the other is the Sori LaAzazel. If one slaughters them outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be Chayev Shchutei Chutz. And the reason given for that, Rav Chisda said, is Ho'il, since they had the potential of being brought as a Musaf of Yom Kippur, a sacrifice that's another Yom Kippur sacrifice brought later in the day, known as the Musaf sacrifice, which also was a goat offering. And the Gemara then raised the issue of why do you say specifically that's the kind of korban it could have been brought as? Why not have it? Why not say that the Sawyer Lazozel isn't considered a problem of Shchutei Chutz because it could have been a Soyer Hanaseh Bifnim? The Gemara answered, because it was missing Hagrola. Now, of course, all of that we explained in detail in our last Shiur. The Gemara here opens up with the question concerning Shitas Rav Chisda. Does he really subscribe to this kind of analysis? He's looking at something as having the potential of being something else. Of course, when we are discussing Shchutei Chutz, and we spoke about this at length in our last shiur, one is not in violation of Shchutei Chutz unless it is a sacrifice or a case that it could have been brought as a korban. And as far as the Sawyer Lazozel is concerned, that is exactly what Rav Chisda said. It could have been brought as a Musaf of Yom Kippur. Now here the Gemara asks, Umi Islei L'Rav Chisda Hoyol? Does Rav Chisda evaluate things based on this kind of analysis that we call Ho'il, which means since it could have been, etc., and so forth? Ve'omar Rav Chisda. Now we have a triangle, and this introduces a series. And on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, Deos, we're going to see opinions, Binyan Pesach Sheshochtoi Bechutz B'Sharimos HaShana, a Korban Pesach that was slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. Sharimos HaShana means other than on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, which is the official time for doing the Korban Pesach. Here we're talking about shechting an animal designated to be a Korban Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash during some other time of the year, and we'll see it done. If it's done lishmo, it's done as a Korban Pesach, meaning that's the intent you had, or shelo lishmo, or you slaughtered it with the intention of it being another kind of sacrifice. By way of general background, a Korban Pesach that is brought during some time during the year, other than, of course, its designated time, it is considered a Korban Shlomim. If you shecht a sacrifice outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it could have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, one would then be guilty of shchutei chutz. If, however, you slaughter an animal designated as a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, but for some reason it could not have been brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, so there would be no violation of shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz, again, is the prohibition of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, and one who does that is guilty of a kores penalty. So our Gemara asks, does Rav Chisda really hold from ho'il, this type of analysis, looking at the potential of something and then viewing that as if it's the reality? Rav Chisda has said, Pesach sheshachtoi b'chutz b'shari yamois hashana. A korban Pesach was slaughtered. B'chutz means outside the Beis HaMikdash during sometime during the year, at a time other than the 14th of Nisan. Lishmoi poter. If he slaughters it as if it were a korban Pesach, he's slaughtering it, namely with that intent that I am now slaughtering in the middle of the month of Shvat a korban Pesach, he would be exempt. Shelo lishmo chayav, if he slaughters it having in mind that it is a korban shlomim, then chayav, he would be guilty of shchutei chutz. So in order to be guilty of shchutei chutz, what would have to be in place? That he had in mind it being a korban shlomim. And why does that generate a chiyuv shchutei chutz? Because if he were to bring it, this korban, the shari mos hashana, in the Beis HaMikdash as a shlomim, it would be a kosher korban. And as we said before, the rule of shchutei chutz is, if you do something outside the Beis HaMikdash that would have been acceptable had it been done in the Beis HaMikdash, so he would be chayev. So now we want to infer. Taimo, the shalo lishmo. Why is there a chiyuv? Why is there a shchutei chutz violation? Because he had a shlomim mindset. Ha stamo lishmoihu. If he was of a neutral mindset, so it would have been a korban Pesach. It would have that is what it was purchased as originally. It was dedicated as a korban Pesach. So, in the neutral mindset, it would have been considered lishmo. It would have been considered as if it were a korban Pesach. Who poter, and he would be exempt, though he slaughtered it outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'amai, and we ask, why should he be exempt? Lema. Should we not apply the previous type of analysis? Hayol v'roi shaloi lishmoi bifnim. Having done a korban Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash in a neutral mindset, he should be considered guilty because of the potential of it being fit to have been done in the Beis HaMikdash with a shlomim mindset. The Gemara answers, this does not disprove or present a contradiction in Rav Chisda's approach to ho'il. Hochi hashta. How can you compare the case of the so'irim, the goats of Yom Kippur, to the case of the Pesach b'shar yamos hashana? Hosam, in the case of the korban Pesach, bo'iri akira, it requires uprooting. That means a korban Pesach, an animal that was bought as a korban Pesach, in order for its status to be changed, there has to be a conscious mental effort of uprooting its original identity. And as long as you have not uprooted its original Pesach identity, it is a Pesach, and it's not fit to be brought b'sha'ar yamos hashana in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban Pesach. The only time for korban Pesach as a korban Pesach was the 14th of Nisan, not sha'ar yamos hashana. The case, however, of the Yom Kippur goats, lo boi akira, there's no uprooting that's necessary. The Yom Kippur goats are designed to be a chatos. Until you do the hagrola, you don't know which one is going to be chosen as the chatos, the sin offering. So both are potential chatos candidates. The musaf is also a chatos. The musaf goat offering is also has a chatos identity. So there's no issue of identity change. Therefore, it's easy to apply the ho'il analysis, looking at something as having the potential of being something else when there's no need for any uprooting to take place. Rabo bar simi masni lehu b'derabo. Rabo bar simi has what we had in triangles. We had Rav Chista's name in triangles in this discussion. Well, he has the two comments, one on the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Beis, and namely the Sirei Yom Kippur point, and this point of Pesach Sheshanah Tu B'Sharmos Sheshanah, the two triangles he has instead of Rav Chista, he has Rabo as the author. The Kashya Le De Rabo A De Rabo, and Rabo Bar Simi, not to be confused with the famous Rabo, he happened to be Rabo Bar Nachmeni. So Rabo Bar Simi then had what would have been a stira in Rabos, just like we thought we had a stira, a contradiction within Rav Chista. He had it, being that the names were changed, he had it as a contradiction in Rabos statements. Umeshani kedishaninon, and he responds as we responded. The difference, the response had been, there's a difference between analyzing a case where Akira is necessary, then we won't apply Ho'il, as opposed to a case where Akira is not necessary, then it's easy to apply the Ho'il analysis. Now, since we got started on the discussion concerning Pesach, B'Shar Yemos HaShonah, and it being slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash, we have more opinions on that. Ki osu Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Yirmiya, Omar Rav Yochanan. Here we'll have Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yochanan. Later we'll have Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan. So Rav Dimi presents Rav Yochanan as saying, Pesach Sheshachto Bachutz B'Shar Yemos HaShonah, a Korban Pesach shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, at a date other than the 14th of Nisan, during the rest of the year, Bein Lishmoy, Bein Sheloi Lishmoy Potter, he is exempt. There's no Shechitas Chutz violation. And the Chiddush here is, even if you do it Sheloi Lishmoy, even if you do it as if it were a Korban Shlomim, and as we said before, a Pesach B'Shar Yemos HaShonah is kosher as a Korban Shlomim, and that means it's kosher if you were to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is quite perplexing. Done in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be an acceptable Korban. So why, under the same circumstances, when done outside the Beis HaMikdash, would he be exempt? That would seem to contradict the format or the rules that govern Shchutei Chutz, as we explained earlier. Omar Rav Dimi, Amrisa L'Shmaitza Kamei D'Rab Yirmiyav. I had said over this teaching to Rabbi Yirmiya, and I asked, Bishlama Lishmoi Dehalo Chazile, granted the exemption if you do the Pesach B'Shar Yemos HaShonah Bachutz Lishmo with a Pesach intent, so he will be innocent, he'll be guilt free, he's potter, because it's Lo Chazile, it's not fit as such to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we said, when it's not acceptable inside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be no outside violation. Elo Shaloi Lishmoi Amai Ha Chazi Shalo Lishmo Bifnim. Why doing a Pesach Shalo Lishmo B'Shar Yemos HaShonah is there exemption even if when he does it Bachutz? Is it not fit to be brought Shalo Lishmo Bifnim in the Beis HaMikdash? The Omar Li and Rabbi Yirmiya answered, Akira Schutz Lav Shmo Akira. The uprooting of its Pesach name, when the uprooting is done for a Shchutei Chutz, for an outside the Beis HaMikdash slaughtering, that has no significance. It's not considered an uprooting. And therefore, the Pesach name remains. Ki osa roven. And by the way, notice we've written into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You can see opposite the fifth line from the top, Potter slash Chayev. That reflected Rav Chisda's approach to, if done lishmo, Potter, and if done shelo lishmo bachutz, Chayev. Here we have Potter slash Potter, indicating that under both circumstances, whether lishmo or shelo lishmo, there would be exemption. Here we're going to see Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan, Chayev, Chayev. Hence the three different approaches, and that was reflected by the three different triangles. So we continue in the Gemara with Ravin's approach. Pesach sheshachta b'chutz b'shayimos hashana, bein lishmoi bein sheloi lishmo chayav. If you shechted the korban pesach, whether you had in mind a pesach intention or a shlomim intention, he would be chayav. Now, what's very curious about this approach is, even if you had a Pesach intention, it's Shari Mos HaShonah, it wouldn't have been fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a Pesach. Why is he Chayav? So the Gemara asks, and you'll notice this is a long question. V'afilu l'shmo, is he going to be Chayav even if he does it l'shmo? V'hotnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Mechusar Zman. The term Mechusar Zman, literally, it's missing in time. It's not ready yet. When we speak about the violation of Shchut Echutz, we have mentioned already a few times today, Shchut Echutz is not considered a violation unless it's something that's fit to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. If something, let us say, is Mechusar Zman, it might have been labeled a sacrifice, but you couldn't have brought it yet. I emphasize the word yet. You couldn't have brought it yet in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Mechusar Zman. He would be exempt from the Shchut Echutz violation. Examples of Mechusar Zman. And that's what you'll see in this source, a lot of different examples. Mechusar Zman, bein begufo, bein bebailim. Mechusar Zman can be a phenomenon in the animal itself, in the sacrifice itself, or in the war with regard to the owner. V'yezu mechusar zman bebailim. What's an example of lacking in time, meaning not ready with regard to the owner? Oh, here are a list of examples. Hazov, azova, vayoledes, v'hametzora, shekrivu chatosam, v'ashomam b'chutz, turim. These are different types of people in that were tomei. And they have to wait a period of 7 days after their tumah, after their state of impurity. They count 7 days, and on the next day, the eighth day, they bring their sacrifice. In this source, their sacrifice was slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, before they reached that eighth day, after that 7 day waiting period. So it was done, it was slaughtered before the time, before the owner, before the Bailim were ready. So would that have been acceptable inside? And here we're talking about these people have a chatas offering and an osham. These people are chayav multiple sacrifices. So the osham, by the way, doesn't apply to all of the examples. But, for example, the Mitzora, he brings an osham as well as the other sacrifices mentioned. But if he brings it before the eighth day, it's Mechusar Zman. Therefore, if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, this source tells us, Pturim, it would be exempt. It would be no Shchut Echutz violation. However, Oyloi Sein, Vishalmehen, Bachutz Chayoven. Their korban olah or their korban shlomim, if they would have been sacrificed, the mitzora's korban olah or the korban shlomim of people here who would be high of that, even though they weren't ready to bring their korban, if it was done outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would be chayav. You see, the reason for that is because an Ola and a Shlomim are types of sacrifices that can be brought as voluntary, as a Korban Nedova, as a voluntary type sacrifice. And as such, it could have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, the presence of the Korban Shlomim is here only because this list, even though it doesn't mention Nazir, Rashi points out it should have included a Nazir as well, and he does bring a Korban Shlomim as part of his multiple sacrifices. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Omer of Chilkiyo Bartuvi, Lo Shanu Elo Lishmoi. The exemption mentioned here about a korban osham being brought by mechusar zman of the owner is if it's brought lishmo with the osham intent. In other words, having its designation in mind when being slaughtered outside. Avol sheloi lishmoi chayav. However, if it would be brought as a non-korban osham, in other words, the animal designated to be a korban osham was done shelo lishmoi. It was done with, let us say, an ola intent or a shlomim intent. It would be There would be a chiyuv, meaning that would be considered a shchutei chutz violation. Well, what do we see here? Lishmo miapoter. However, if it were done b'chutz as its original designation, he would be exempt. But why do you say he's exempt? Amai, neimo, why not say, hoyo v'ru'yin shaloi lishmoi bifnim? It would have been fit to have been brought shaloi lishmo in the Beis HaMikdash. And the main point here, Rashi emphasizes this. If we look at Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara text, we've dashed underline this. Avol shaloi lishmo kigon l'shem oiloi l'shem shlomim chayov. Shekein roi lifnim kayotze bo lifnim. Yet we don't say that. And furthermore, we see an example of Akiras Chutz. The Gemara says, how can you compare this case to Rovin's case? Hochi Hashta. Hosam, in the case of the Chatas and Osham, Boi Akira. There, you need to have an uprooting. And being that without the uprooting, it would still be labeled a korban osham, and as an osham, it's not fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it's exempt if you do it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Hacha, however, in the case of the korban Pesach b'shar yemos hashana, Pesach b'shar yemos hashana shlomim ninhu, it is fit to be brought as a shlomim. And Rashi says that is so even without Akira. In other words, a Pesach b'shar yemos hashana is automatically a shlomim without Akira. So as we've seen before, that when Akira is not necessary, then it's easy to view it as something else. So even though it was earmarked or designated originally, was sanctified originally as a Korban Pesach, but it's Shar Yemos Hashana, it carries with it a Shlomim identity. And if you do that outside the Beis HaMikdash, so it's like Shechting a Korban Shlomim outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a clear case of Shchutei Chutz, and hence he's Chayev. Not so in the case of the Korban Osham, that was earmarked as an Osham, in order to begin to even think of it as something else, you'd have to do an Akira, an uprooting. Well, if that's necessary, and you didn't do the uprooting, the fact that in potential you could have uprooted it and brought it as something else, that's not enough to mechayev, to hold someone guilty of Shchutei Chutz. Rav Ashi Masni Chayov Kida Amrinon. Rav Ashi had his version of this discussion like Rovin. that whether it's a done lishmoy, the Pesach that is, Pesach Sheshochem Sharmoy Sashana, whether it's done lishmoy or shelo lishmo, he would be chayev, as we explained. Rav Yirmiya midifti masni potter. He took the approach of Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yochanan, saying both cases would be potter. Kosovar, Pesach b'shayim o'sashana boy akira. A Pesach during the other time of the other times of the year, in order for it to be considered a korban shlomim, its name would have to be uprooted. The akiras chutz lav shmo akira, and an uprooting of a name done outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would not be considered an uprooting. Upliga de Rav Chilkia bar Tuvi, and that approach is at odds with Rav Chilkia's approach. Rav Chilkia, we saw just a few lines up. You'll notice we have a type of squiggled arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the squiggled arrow you see above, where Rav Chilkia bar Tuvi mentioned, in the case of the Korban Osham done outside the Beis HaMikdash, if he would have uprooted its name from Osham to Shlomim, or Ola, he would have been Chayav. Even though it's a case of Akiras Chutz, it still would have taken hold. And this approach of Rav Yirmiya Midifti, who parallels Rav Dimi's approach, says otherwise. Hence, the Gemara presents this as Pliga. It is that the approach taken by Rav Yirmiya Midifti, i.e. Rav Dimi, is at odds with Rav Chilkia bar Tuvi. Omar Mar. This is a quote from that which we have seen earlier. This takes you back to Samach Beis Omid Beis. Mishihigril Alehem. If the goats of Yom Kippur, the Shir Lashem Zozozoza, were shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash at a point after the Hagrola was done, Chayav al Shel Shem Upoter al Shel Azazel, he would be Chayav for slaughtering the one labeled Lashem, that's a formal Korban Chatos, and he would be exempt for the slaughtering of that one which was labeled the Soyer Lazozel. The Soyer Lazozel at that point is not a sacrifice, it is an animal that carries away the sins of the Jewish people to the cliff east of Jerusalem, but that doesn't mean it's a sacrifice. It's not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash with any blood sprinklings that takes place. Tonu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source. This source opens up with the Pasuk that is the source of the Shchutei Chutz prohibition. And you'll note, of course, that this source is a long source. It continues to the upper part of Amid Beis. The pasuk says, "Ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machane." Any member of Israel, the Jewish people, that slaughters these animals, an ox, a sheep, a goat, b'machane, in the camp, meaning not in the Beis HaMikdash, oh asher yishchat michutz l'machane, or he shechts it outside the camp, ve'al pesach amoyed lo hevio la'akriv korban l'Hashem, and he didn't bring it as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk tells us that he will be Chayav. He is guilty of a Kores violation. Now, in this Pasuk, the term Korban was used at the end. Korban Lashem. So at the top of Amid Beis, the source asks, "E korban shemani afilu kotche berek habayis shenikru korban." If there is guilt for slaughtering that which is called a korban outside the base Hamikdash, does that include even something that was dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis is the temple repair fund, not as opposed to, you know, something that is slaughtered with blood sprinkling on the altar. Temple repair fund means something was dedicated, and its value would be used after it's sold. Its value would be used for the temple repair fund. Bedek HaBayis. So the pasuk says, if one slaughters a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be chayav. So does korban include even an animal that was dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis fund, and which is also called korban? The term korban applies to them as well. Ke'inyin shenemar, as the pasuk says, vanakrev as korban Hashem, and in that context, the word korban is with regard to the kodshei Bedek HaBayis. So does that carry with it a shute chutz violation? Talmud loymar ve'al pesach omoyed lo hevio. The pasuk we read said he's guilty of shute chutz if he slaughtered something that he didn't bring to the oyel moed, to the Beis HaMikdash. And we learn from that, kol haroy lepesach omoyed chayav alav chutz, anything that's fit to have been brought inside, if slaughtered outside, he would be chayev. Kol she'eino roi l'pesach omoed. If you're talking about something that wasn't fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, as a sacrifice, ein chayev en olav mibachutz. It would not carry with it a shutei chutz penalty. And naturally, something that's dedicated to the Bedek HaBayis is something that's dedicated to the temple repair fund and not something that's designated or ordained to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a sacrifice. Otsi Elu She'ein Roi L'Pesach O'Moed. That having been said, so I see to exclude from the Shutei Chutz violation those that are not fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a sacrifice. V'lo Otsi Sor HaMishtaleach Shuroi Lavo El Pesach Olamoid. However, maybe I should not exclude from the violation of Shutei Chutz the Soyer Lazozel. The Soyer HaMishtalech, that's the sent away goat. The goat sent away, or maybe the scapegoat that sent away carrying the sins of Israel to the cliff. Now, it's something that's fit to be brought in the Olamoid. How? In what sense? It's Rashi explains, because it's brought in the Beis HaMikdash for the drawing of the lots and for the confession that is done over it. So the Soyer HaMishtalech has this element of being roi lavoi pesach omoed. It in fact is brought initially in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash for the lots and the confession that takes place over it. So the simple question once again is, would there be a shchutei chutz violation if one slaughters a Soyer HaMishtalech outside the Beis HaMikdash? Talmud Lomar Lashem. The pasuk with which we opened up this source mentioned Korban Lashem. Mishem Yuchodim Lashem. Those sacrifices, those type of animals that are designated and restricted, they're miyuchad, they are specified as being Lashem, sacrificed with the blood sprinkling taking place inside the Beis HaMikdash. Yotsu Elu She'ein Miyuchadim Lashem, to the exclusion of the Soyer HaMishtaleach, which is not something that we would call miyuchad Lashem. The Gemara asks, V'Lashem Lohoitzi, who? We put a diamond around Lashem because we want to raise a contradiction in how that particular term is darshaned. Up till now, we use the word Lashem to exclude the Soyer HaMishtaleach. So is that really so? V'Rominhu, we raise a contradiction from another source. You'll see a diamond Lashem coming up very shortly. And there, you'll see we dashed underline L'Rabois Soyer HaMishtaleach, where Lashem actually includes. The source deals with a prohibition of sanctifying things b'mechusar zman, before they are eligible. So the source says, Yerotzeh L'Korban Yishe Lashem. Elu Ishim. Ishim means plural of the word Eish, something that's fit for the Marocha, something that's fit for being burnt on the Mizbeach. Minayin Shelo Yikdishenu Mechusar Zman. From where do I know that something that is that's Isheh, that's designated to be put on the altar and burnt, from where do we know that you should not sanctify it if it's not yet fit? This happens to be so in the case of, let us say, an animal that is newly born. It is not fit to be brought as a sacrifice until it reaches its eighth day of life. Prior to that, it's mechusar zman. So one should not dedicate something that is in its first couple days of life. And where do we know this from? From the word korban. That's Talmud Lomar, korban. The word Lashem in that pasuk, the pasuk that we opened up this source with, it said Yerotzeh lo korban ishel Lashem. The word Lashem, l'rabois soyer hamishtaleach. And it would include the goat that would be designated as the soyer hamishtaleach. So when buying two goats for the Yom Kippur service, one should make sure that they are not mechusar zman. And what are we including in that? The soyer hamishtaleach, the sent away, the send away goat. What do we see? We see a very simple problem. In the previous source, what was the role of Lashem? It excluded the soyer hamishtaleach. Here we see the same term Lashem, and it's including the soyer hamishtaleach. Omar Rava. Rava resolves, he responds. Hosa minyone dekra v'ocha minyone dekra. There are two different topics, and you have to evaluate the role of Lashem by the context, minyone dekra, the context in which it's found. Hosam de el Pesach l'rabois. Notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with that which we saw before. There we saw el Pesach. It came to include the Soyer HaMishtaleach. That wasn't excluded from the term El Pesach. So, and we saw there above the Gemara had said Veloy Oitzi. Again, referring to the arrow, the first arrow, several lines up from here. The Pasuk spoke about El Pesach Oil Moed, and we saw at that point the Loi Oitzi Soyer HaMishtaleach. What does that indicate to us? That El Pesach has the potential of including. Once again, we're being a bit repetitious, but El Pesach had the potential of including the Soyer HaMishtaleach. Therefore, if you have another expression, namely Lashem, it does the opposite. Lashem, therefore, is lehoitzi. If Lashem is coming on the heels of that which was inclusive, so its role will be to be exclusive. Hacha de'ishe lehoitzi, in the more recent drusha, where the word ishe, which referred to the fire, its role would have been to exclude the Soyer HaMishtaleach. Therefore, Lashem in that context is l'rabois. And l'rabois, and the bottom line was there, not to sanctify it b'mechusar zman. We continue in the Gemara. Taimo de Ravi Rachmona. So how do I know that the Soyer Lazozel is prohibited to be designated because I have Lashem l'rabois, to include. Notice, by the way, we have a long question marking here. Taimo de Ravi Rachmona. Holo Ravi, have amino. If not for the inclusion expression of Lashem, I would have thought, Soyer HaMishtaleach kodosh b'mechusar zman. Now, could that really have been? I would have thought that the Soyer HaMishtaleach would have become designated and sanctified as a Soyer HaMishtaleach if, even if it was not yet ready. Ah, how could that be? For ein ha-goyrol koyvea ela b'roi l'shem. The goyrol works to establish identities of the goats only if each one would have been fit to be brought as a sin offering, as the sor chatos l'shem. And a sor chatos l'shem, a sacrifice, is not fit. B'mechusar zman. So, since the goral is effective only on animals that either one could have been the Sor Lashem, and the Sor Lashem is not eligible to be such if it's Mechusar Zman, so how in the world would I even have thought, without the Pasuk, how would I have thought that Sor Lazozel would have been designated as such b'mechusar zman? So let's just go over this point again, just to make sure that we have things stated in an accurate fashion. How do I know that the isur of mechusar zman, being makdish b'mechusar zman, applies? Because of a gzeres hakosuv. Okay, a gzeres hakosuv is one of those things you can't argue with. It's the Torah says is l'ashem l'rabbi sumer shalef not to Makdishit b'mechusar zman. Our issue is, and without that, what would I have thought? Without that, I would have thought that it's okay, that there's no violation of mechusar zman, that it would have been kadosh b'mechusar zman. But the goral doesn't establish which is which, unless it would have been fit to be brought Lashem, and a korban Lashem is not acceptable b'mechusar zman. At this point, we see a series marking. We have triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading with triangles that, with a mivnes, a structural note which introduces this section. So on the side, lefi mi yesh mokoim lachshoiv. According to whom would there have been room to think that the Sor HaMishtaleach would have been sanctified by Mechusar Zman, that Shetzrichim Gzeres HaKosov Miuchod Lamed Sheinu Kodesh, to warrant a special scriptural reference to tell us that it's not Kodesh by Mechusar Zman? So who is that opinion that would suggest that there was room to think that it would have been sanctified? The triangles represent four tshuvos l'sheila hanal, four responses to this particular question. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yosef. This is the first of four answers. Ha Moni Hanan Hamitzri Hi. This source that indicates that without the pasuk, I would have thought that the Sawyer Lazozia would have been sanctified, even though it's Mechusar Zman. This is in accordance with a Shita whose name is Hanan Hamitzri Desanya. Now, okay, we have the source says Hanan Mitzri Omer Afilu Dam Bekois. If you have, let us say, you shechted a korban, the Sor Lashem on Yom Kippur, the blood is in the cup, and the partner animal, the Sor HaMishtaleach, the send away goat, dropped dead. Hanan Mitzri says, even if the blood is in the cup and it hasn't been, no longer, the animal itself is no longer standing there, mevi chaveroi umezaveg loi, you can bring another sawyer lazozel, and the thinking right now is that it doesn't need hagrola. Once Hagrola was done, and as is the case over here, the Sawyer Lazozel dropped dead. all you have to do is bring a replacement Soyola Zozel. That's what it sounds like at this point. What then would that do for us? Well, then we don't have the problem of the Gorol being Koivea. So according to Chanan HaMitzri, the Havamina right now is you don't need to do Hagrola. That's the Havamina. And therefore the issue of how could a Soyer HaMishtalech become sanctified by Mechusar's Man, don't you need the Hagrola to be Koivea? And the Hagrola works only on things that are fit to be brought as Korbonus. Well, we're answering that source that we read above is according to Chanan HaMitzri. And the thinking right now is Chanan HaMitzri does not require Hagrola. The Gemara says that is not really Chanan HaMitzri's point of view. Eimar deshamis lei lechanan HaMitzri the less lei dichuyin. All Chanan HaMitzri said is that the blood that's gathered in the cup from the Soyer Lashem, it is not nidche. It's not rendered unfit by virtue of the fact that the partner animal died. The Soyer HaMishtalech died. It remains fit. However, in choosing a replacement Soyer HaMishtalech, you still will have to bring two goats and do a lot drawing. The less lay hagrola mi shamis lay, to suggest that Chanan HaMitzri doesn't require hagrola, do we see that from over here? Dilma, maisi, umagriel. As far as Chanan HaMitzri is concerned, you have to bring two more animals and draw lots in order to determine which one is going to be the Soyer Lazozel. If we look in the Rashi under the Gemara text, the second goat that upon whom the Gorol of Lashem would have fallen, that is sent out to graze. You're not going to be using that because of his shita, that Dam Shebekais is still used. He doesn't hold from Dichui. But as far as finding a replacement one for the Soyer Lazozel that died, you'll have to do that through lot drawing. That being the case, that I need to do Hagrola, that will show me that obviously if it's Mechusar Zman, it won't work. The Ein Goro Koveh Ela Baroi Lashem. So we still don't have an author for the source above, we'll call it the second diamonded source, that shows I need to have a posuk l'rabo yisar mishtalech for the isser of being makdish mechusar zman. The Xeris HaKosov showed us that the sar mishtalech does not become kadosh b'mechusar zman. Obviously, it doesn't become kadosh b'mechusar zman. Elo Omar Rav Yosef. We continue. Ha money Rebbe Shimon hi. The source above, which suggested that maybe something could be kadosh, the Sar Mishtalech could become kadosh b'mechusar zman, would be and hence need a Xeris HaKosov to say that it doesn't become kadosh. That's according to Reb Shimon. What does he say? The Sanya Meis Echod Mehem. One of the two goats, the Soyer Lashem, Soyer Lazozel, one of them died. Mevi chaveroi sheloi behagrolo, divrei Rabbi Shimon. The replacement animal can be done, can be replaced. The animal that needs to be replaced can be done so, even without hagrolo. Oh, so I see that you don't need hagrolo. If I don't need hagrolo, then without the posuk, the Soyer HaMishtalech may have become kadosh, even mechusar zman. Hence, I need the pasuk. The whole thinking before was I don't need the pasuk because we know from the rule concerning the goro is ineffective unless the animal is fit. But if you say you don't need the goro, so then I need the pasuk to say that Soyer HaMishtalech will not become kadosh, but mechusar zman. Ravina Omar. Ravina explains, Kigoin Shehumam V'chiluloi Al Achir. Under what circumstances do I need a posuk to pasel mechusar zman b'besor mishalech? Under these circumstances, where the sur amishtaleach developed a blemish on it. It developed a blemish after the hagrola was done. And you then transferred its sanctity, chilulo al achir. You transferred its sanctity, redeemed it, transferred its sanctity onto another animal. Now that second animal doesn't need hagrola, because it's coming by virtue of the first animal that now has a boom and now is blemished, but it had hagrola done already. So regarding that second animal, you are not to transfer the sanctity onto an animal that is mechusar zman. Umino temra de posil bein mumo. From where do I know that a mum would render it disqualified? The sanya, we have a Tanaic source. The source opens with a posuk in the context of blemishes. It says, "V'ishe lo sitnu mehem al hamizbeach lashem." The word mehem is a pronoun from them. It's a reference to blemished animals, and the posuk is saying, "Do not offer a sacrifice of a balmum onto the mizbeach." Elu hachalovim. That's a reference to using the chelev, the innards of a blemished animal, and putting it on the mizbeach. That would be a violation of this pasuk. Ainli ella kulan. Well, I would think that's only if you put all of the innards. Miksosin minayin. What about placing an olive quantity of innards of a balmum on the mizbeach? Tamud lomar mehem. Even from them, even a portion, a fraction. Mizbeach zu zrikas damim. That's a reference to sprinkling the blood of a baal mum on the mizbeach. That would also be a violation. Lashem l'rabois sor hamishtalech. And you see here that we're including the sendaway goat as being disqualified by having a blemish. The Gemara now goes on to make a point. And this point will take us to the end of the Omid. At the top of Samach Dalet Omid Aleph, another triangle will appear, a fourth explanation as to why I need a posuk to tell me that the Sor HaMishtalech does not become sanctified b'mechusar zman, when that would have appeared to have been obvious. We continue in the Gemara. V'itzrich l'michtav baal mum, v'itzrich l'michtav mechusar zman. We have now two sources that deal with the Sor HaMishtaleach as being unfit. One, as a if it's blemished, and two, if it's Mechusar Zman, it's not 8 days old, for example. Why do I need Psukim to show us both disqualifications in the case of the Sor HaMishtaleach, and it wouldn't have been enough to state one and I would have been able to figure out the other? Had the Torah said that Mechusar Zman is a disqualifying factor by the Sor HaMishtaleach, Mishum Delo Moti Zimnei, its time hasn't arrived yet. It never got into the ball game, so it's unfit. Avo Baal Mum De Moti Zimnei Emalo. But an animal that developed a blemish, it had reached its eligibility as far as time is concerned, that it developed a blemish, maybe that would not be a disqualifying factor. The cause of Rachmona Baal Mum, had that been stated as being unfit, Mishum de Mois, it's considered disgusting. Mois is that which is, as we said, it's something that's disgusting. That's a blemish. But Mechusar Zman, all it's a problem is it's a function of a calendar issue, a time issue. That doesn't create a situation of mo'us. It's not disgusting. So maybe it doesn't disqualify the Sor HaMishtaleach. Tzricha. Therefore, I need to be taught that as well. And I wouldn't have been able to derive Mechusar Zman by knowing only about Baal Mum. Continuing at the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, Rava Omar, Rava explains, and I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but Rava is also coming to address the issue, and Rashi might be, I don't want to say he's guilty of the same thing, but look at that. Look at Rashi at the top line. Rashi says, Rava Omar, Mechusar Zman, the Itzterich Kro L'Sor Mishaleach, the issue of Sor HaMishaleach being unfit if it's Mechusar Zman, I need a pasuk for that. Rashi goes on to say, Kegoin, Shoyalo, Lemisha, Merchon, Letzibor, Chayle V'Sor Peso. The person who is providing these animals to the Tzibor, he happened to have someone who was very ill in his house. Shemutu l'chala of Yom HaKippurim, someone who is so ill he needs an animal to be slaughtered for his health, and hence mutu to violate Yom Kippur for his benefit. V'shochat es imoy shel soyer, and the mother animal of the soyer mishalech, the mother animal was slaughtered for the benefit of this choyle, this ill individual. Upon the slaughtering of the mother, shenasa mechusar zman mishum oisav esbino la'acha shehigro lalav. After the hagrola was done, the child, which was designated as the soyer lazazel, it now becomes mechusar zman. There's a law in the Torah, which Rashi alluded to just now, Oisiv Esbeno. That law says that you cannot shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. And in this case, we have the Sor Lashem, after the Hagrola was done, the mother animal was slaughtered. Now, let's take a look at the Gemara. Rava Omar, Kigon Shahoya Lo Choyle B'Soch Beso, the one who provides the animals, in this case he provided the goats, one of which became the Sawyer Lazozel, V'Shochat Imoy B'Yom HaKippurim, and the mother animal was shechted, was slaughtered, after Hagrola was done on its child, that makes the child, this, in this case the Sor Lazozel, Mechusar Zman. It's based on the Isser of Oisoy Ves Benoy, mother and offspring cannot be shechted on the same day. Under such circumstances, after Hagrola was done, the Pasuk has to tell me that it is unfit. It now becomes Mechusar Zman. The Gemara asks, "V'chi hai gavno mi osir?" Under such circumstances, where I'm going to be carrying the child to a cliff and pushed off, is that really forbidden because its mother was slaughtered on the same day? Lo sishchatu amarachmana. The pasuk says, "Oisiv ves benoy lo sishchatu biyom echad." The pasuk warns against slaughtering. V'holav shchitahi. The offspring, the son, the child animal, is not going to be slaughtered. It's going to be pushed off a cliff. In other words, the Isser of Oisav Esbeno is violated only if you are talking about the slaughtering of both animals. Here you're not slaughtering the child animal. Hence, there shouldn't be any... there isn't even a problem of Mechusar Zman in the first place. The Gemara answers, there is. Ho amri b'marava, d'chiyosu l'tzug zuhi shchitoso. The term shchita is more expansive than the mere translation, i.e. slaughtering. Namely, the pushing off, the tzuk is the cliff, pushing it off the cliff, which is its destiny, that's the sor lazazel, that is tantamount to slaughtering it. That is considered its slaughtering. Hence, there is a problem of oiso vespino. And even though we're dealing with the Sor Lazazel, the pasuk has to tell me that there will be an iser of mechusar zman that has to be dealt with. In other words, that the Sor Lazazel becomes rendered unfit as Mechusar Zman, and all of that we had learned earlier from Lashem, and we're referring back to the Gemara, the upper part of the previous Amud Beis, Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the second diamond we saw over there, where it said Lashem, the Rabbi Yisrael Mishalech, that a Yisrael Mishalech is rendered unfit if it is Mechusar Zman. And we had asked, isn't that obvious, even without the Pasuk? We had the rule that Ein HaGorol Koivea, the Goral doesn't establish each one to be what it is, unless each one would have been fit to be Lashem. So we're telling you, here's a case where, as far as the Goral facet is concerned, that was done properly. Everything was fine. After the Hagrola was done, the Mechusar Zman issue came up, and it's that circumstance that Rava just described, that Lashem L'Rabois Sar Meshalech, that the Sar Meshalech is in fact rendered unfit because of it being now a Mechusar Zman, and the specific form of Mechusar Zman is Oiso V'es V'no. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.